The Institute on Religious Life has brought you a series of taped lectures by one of today's leading theologians, Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Some of these taped lectures have proved difficult to understand because of surface or tape noise or because of some sort of outside interference. The problem of hearing and understanding is further accentuated when some of the users attempted to play the tapes on loudspeaker systems for the benefit of their communities. For this reason, it has been necessary to retape certain of these lectures to assure clarity of voice and thought. In such cases, we have had to resort to a substitute voice, but we assure you that the words spoken and the ideas presented are those of Father John A. Hardin with nothing added and nothing subtracted. The substitute voice is that of one Robert Warnock. The lecture for this tape is Understanding the Religious Life, What It Is and What It Is Not. First of all, what may have been a cliche a dozen years ago is no cliche today. I doubt if you could find a short article, let alone a full-length book, explaining or defining religious life 20 years ago. It was almost assumed. Most of the writing before was on why religious should be good religious and how they are to live the religious life. The what was assumed, but not today. Our questioning age is questioning everything. It would seem strange if the nature of religious life was not also on trial. It is. Therefore, in dealing with those who are to be formed by us, we should assume that they have been affected, no matter how young they are, or how apparently unaffected by the ideas of our day they seem to be. Assume those ideas have somehow already affected them. Good ideas to improve them, and bad ideas to infect what should be a clear concept of religious life. There are two things especially I think you should look for and almost a priori assume. One is what I would call the romantic image of religious life. So much of the modern world is living on the surface. There is so much artificiality, so much make-believe, that religious life has not escaped the influence. By a romantic image, I mean a concept of religious life which stresses the unessentials, the accidentals, and fails to come to grip with the essence. People who enter religious life get the idea of having all kinds of time to just commune with God, and that's romantic. They assume that once they enter religious life, they will be so flooded with grace. God is so grateful for their having so generously given themselves to Him. Problems they had and still have when they enter will, by some miraculous alchemy, disappear. Material on this subject is called spiritual fiction. So the romanticism is something to expect and something to know you have to cope with. The balance for romanticism is realism. The second thing that people can come into the religious state with is a failure to recognize that religious life is a revealed mystery. In other words, a religious vocation is a gift from God, but a gift whose inner meaning cannot be penetrated by the human reason. That even to understand what religious life is, let alone to live it faithfully, you need faith. And consequently, for yourself, I would say, while assuming that you can teach those under your care a certain amount, don't be too ambitious or particularly concerned. If it's a mystery, trust that God will do His part. I've seen too many people in charge of formation who seem to have forgotten that there is a divine providence, and those in religious life are presumably in the state of grace. If they are, they have the divine indwelling, so that we can spare ourselves a great deal of worry and effort, even provided that we leave those that we are caring for to the best of teachers, the one who dwells in them, and who can tell them in ways that we could never begin to do, what they are supposed to do and how they are to do it. In order to help religious not merely understand religious life, but also grow in that understanding, we should recognize that it is one thing to better understand religious life as we have been describing it in terms of its inner meaning, which can be quite theological in its explanation. But what I think the person who enters religious life mainly needs in terms of instruction is to be more clearly and more intelligently and with greater certitude to understand the meaning of the vows and the community life. In other words, if I were to summarize how a religious may be helped to grow in understanding religious life, I would say he or she can be helped to grow in the understanding of religious life by growing in the understanding of the four commitments that constitute religious life: poverty, chastity, obedience, and community life. And whatever else, we must emphasize that there are four obligations of religious life, and not just three: chastity, poverty, obedience, and community life. All four. Now, how are we to help those that we are caring for to grow in their understanding? They are to be enabled to better grasp the meaning, which is ordinarily identified with the word understanding. I call it greater intelligibility. Religious life would make more sense to them as they go through life. Secondly, religious life should become more and more clear. The clarity is mainly a matter of contrast. Contrast with a life which is not religious. They should be helped to see that religious life is different, and it is precisely in the difference, the contrast between religious life and any other option, that a religious develops clarity. Clarity is the result of seeing the difference between being a religious and being anything else. Now, thirdly, they should be helped to grow in the religious life by acquiring a deeper certitude, growing conviction, which means a religious should not ever seriously doubt either the value of religious life in general or religious life especially for themselves. It is remarkable how some people can be so casual about speculatively wondering whether or not religious life is all that worthwhile, or if it's worthwhile for others, or whether it's worthwhile for me. So growth in understanding the religious life means, in terms of the object, growing in a better understanding of poverty, chastity, obedience, and community life. And secondly, it means growing in this understanding in three ways: by their deeply grasping the meaning of it, by making it more and more clear that religious life is not something else, and by growing in their conviction that they are and should remain religious until death. Remember, every thought tends to produce a desire. Every desire tends to produce an action. And every action tends to produce a habit. And every habit tends to produce a character, the iron law of the foundation of character. Now, the level on which we are speaking and understanding is the area of the mind. It is very important that the people who enter religious life grow in their understanding, because they can go through all sorts of moves, they can live up to all sorts of external demands, but unless their minds grow parallel with their involvement and the details and the demands of religious life, they may take their vows as well-behaved religious, but are not thoroughly convinced that they should be religious. This growth in understanding is part of the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are seven gifts. Among the seven gifts is the gift of understanding. A religious should have a specially developed gift of understanding. In order to bring back the divine expectations of religious life today, there is no better context within which to explain and interpret religious life for the mind than by carefully reading and understanding the early Christian community as described in the Acts of the Apostles. Those passages from the time that Peter preached his first sermon on Pentecost Sunday, running through several chapters of the Acts, the church goes back to regularly to tell religious, this is the way you are supposed to behave. In other words, we should associate what I am talking about with that parable of Christ of the seed. All good seed falling on different kinds of ground. The first kind of seed, well, three did not bear fruit. Only the fourth did. The first of the three that did not bear good fruit was the seed that fell by the wayside. Now, who remembers when Christ came to explain what that meant? What did he tell the disciples? Those are typified by the seed falling by the wayside who received the word of God in joy, but because they failed to understand, the evil one comes and steals the word from their hearts. I submit this is the main reason for the chaos of losing almost 60,000 sisters in the United States since the council. Often women who were educated to the teeth in matters secular could glibly give the answers to routine questions that have not been helped from their first days to come to the intellectual grips with what this religious life is. Notice the what. And they should also go through years of the how. Surprised everybody. She was such a model religious. Well, that means she was so well behaved. But I think many of them whose training and other things just was not correspondingly balanced by the mind coming to grips with the intelligibility, the clarity, and the certitude of poverty, chastity, obedience, and community life. Don't tell me people give up a life of poverty all of a sudden. There is much need to say people are infected by the world in which they are living. Secularism penetrated into religious life. Who doubts it? For that reason, and this is not intellectualism, the minds of religious must be filled clearly, deeply, convinced and they should grow in the intellectual conviction. This is good in itself, and religious life is good for me. Remember, part of the romanticism of religious life is also partly grace. There is a certain exhilaration, a certain unrealism. And lest in your effort to positively dispel romanticism, you quench grace or throw water on the fires of divine love, rather balance it by living it out. Remember, there is a balance. Romanticism, realism, a balance. This concludes Father Hardin's lecture on understanding the religious life, what it is and what it is not. Run your tape out to its end and reverse the tape for Father Hardin's lecture on training the conscience of religious life.